Marianne McCullough, Brother Aaron's wife, welcoming you to today's edition of Fresh Fire Ministries. I hope that you've made your plans to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we once again worship the Lord through the old-fashioned preaching of His precious Holy Word. I would like to remind you that the Fresh Fire Ministries radio broadcast is a listener-supported faith ministry, which means we are dependent upon the prayers and financial support of our listeners, just like you, to pay for airtime and production costs associated with this ministry. My husband and I take no salary from this ministry. In fact, we are financial supporters just like you. This is simply a labor of love for us. So if you enjoy these programs, I encourage you to become a financial supporter with us. No amount is too small and none is too large. And remember, all financial gifts are tax deductible. Also, we would love to be in service with you. I ask that you prayerfully consider having Brother Aaron come and preach for your next homecoming, revival, men's meeting, or even a regular Sunday service. It would be his honor to come. To correspond with us, you may call us locally at 706-302-9162 or toll-free 1-800-511-9536. Our email, freshfire@mindspring.com. Or you may visit us on the web at www.freshfireministries.com. And always the regular mail, 1141 East Main Street in Hogansville, Georgia, 30230. Thanks for tuning in today. Now here's my husband, Brother Aaron, to tell you about today's broadcast.
Well, thank you, sweetheart, for another wonderful introduction. I appreciate you doing this each week. You do such a wonderful job of it, and I really do. I appreciate it. I know that folks like to know where we're going to be from week to week so they can join us whenever possible. Let me make all of you listeners aware that this coming Sunday night, which is January the 1st at 6 o'clock, there's going to be a joint worship service at the Oakside Baptist Church in LaGrange, where a bunch of churches are coming together of all denominational stripes and colors and whatever, and just going to have a wonderful worship service at 6 o'clock. Now, I'll be preaching, and then Brother Dennis Farr from out at Faith Baptist will be preaching. Their choir's going to be singing, got other singers going to be there. So I want to give you a special invitation to be with us at 6 o'clock New Year's night. Now, that's not New Year's Eve. That's New Year's night, January the 1st at 6 o'clock. My good friend, Brother Tom Kennedy, pastor over at Friendship Baptist Church, is sponsoring this and be moderating it. And I appreciate so very much him doing this. And I'm looking forward to seeing you there. I'm looking forward to getting to preach the gospel there, too. Let me also very quickly tell you that our new website is up. I'm hoping we got it 100% done by the time you hear this. If we don't, it'll be about 95% done. But check us out, www.freshfireministries.com. Bunch of good stuff on there that you're going to enjoy having at your fingertips. All right, today, went back into the archives to 2008, preaching revival down at Creekside Baptist Church on Stovall Road with my good friend, Brother Brian Jeter, as the pastor. Title of the sermon is Till My Change Comes. This is New Year's. We're talking about change. I thought this a fitting and appropriate sermon. Hope you get a blessing out of the message today.
It's been said that the only constant in life is change. The Bible's filled with many examples of change. You can just start at Genesis and start walking through. You'll find where God changed a man named Abram to Abraham. And when he changed him, he became the father of faith. Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. He changed him. He changed Sarai, his wife, to Sarah, and she became the mother of nations. Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now listen to what he says. He said, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, Sarah didn't know what to do in the meantime, between the time God appointed and the time it got there. And in the meantime, she devised her own plan and had Ishmael, and there's been problems ever since. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Genesis 17, starting with verse 17 and 15. And God said unto Abram, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless thee, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. You see, Abraham didn't realize change was a-coming. Change was on the way. And he changed in the Bible, he changed Jacob, whose very name means trickster or swindler, to Israel, which means the father of the Jewish nation. Change was a coming to that old boy. He changed a fellow named Saul, who just persecuted the Christians and had the power to kill them and to put them in prison and to do all kinds of things, and had made a life out of persecuting them. He didn't realize one day that on the Damascus Road, change was a coming. Amen. And he met the master there face to face, and God slapped him silly. Amen. Amen. Yes, he did. And he told him, he said, all right, big boy, now talk a little while. Talk a little while now while you're eating that dust and I've struck and you're blind and you can't see. Do you know what? He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? Talk now, big boy. Change was a coming. And he changed Simon Bar-Jonah, who was flighty, never could depend on him for anything. My hero, though, in the Bible, I tell it everywhere I go, other than Jesus Christ, Simon Bar-Jonah or Peter, it was my hero. That's my favorite character in the Bible because I can relate to him. Amen. He did everything wrong. Amen. He kept one foot in the mouth. He just took one out to put the other one in. He rotated them. So I can relate to that. But listen, Simon Bar-Jonah, Mr. Wishy-Washy, he didn't realize, though, that one day change was coming. And he met the Lord and he asked a question, said, who do people say that I am? And a lot of them said, some say you're this one, some say you're that one. He said, but who do you say that I am, Mr. Wishy-Washy? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he told him, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this unto you. And then Jesus answered him, telling him this, and he said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Change was a-coming. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Change was a-coming. Listen, an old boy named Lazarus died one day. Done been dead 4 days in the grave. Graveyard dead was really the truth of the matter for him. Oh, and Mary and Martha got all upset. They was tore out of the frame because he didn't come when they sent for him. And if there's a man in the house, you'll say amen right here. You'll know that when you don't do what a woman wants you to do, amen, when she wants it done, you're in trouble. Amen. Well, amen. And he didn't come when they sent for him. 4 days he is late getting there. Oh, but as he come down that dusty road, Mary and Martha was belly aching, griping, and doubting, but they didn't realize change was coming down the road. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. And he said, tell me where you've laid him, man. And they showed him the tomb, and he went and he said, roll the stone away. And when he did, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, wow, a change. Change was a-coming. Now listen, when the Spirit of God moves, listen, he changes things and people. But the question that begs an answer tonight is this. While we're waiting on our change to come, now change is a-coming, amen. But while we're waiting on it, what are we going to do in the meantime? In the meantime. The answer's in the book of Job. Therefore, I want to examine the book of Job tonight and focus in on my thought, in the meantime, till my change comes. The book of Job, it's an Old Testament book. Yet, it's not a book of the law. Though we see the law of God exemplified in the book of Job. It's not a book of prophecy. Yet, it prophesies of God and man's relationship. It's probably the oldest book in the Bible. No book quite like the book of Job. Its main character was a man named Job. Job lived in the land of Uz. Job was the wisest man and the wealthiest probably in the entire East. Job, who was used to sitting in wealth, would soon learn how to sit in ashes. Job, who had been well educated in the finer schools, would soon learn the greatest lesson of life at the University of Hard Knocks. Anybody else besides me, an alumni from there? I graduated from the University of Hard Knocks. I have a degree. Amen. Job, who in one moment of time would see his herds depleted, lands ruined, and his family destroyed. Job saw everything he held dear taken from him. Then on top of everything else, he had to put up with a nagging wife that questioned his integrity. Job, a man who in essence preached his own funeral, said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Woo! He knew a change was a-coming. Job, a man who had nothing to be joyous about, yet the Bible said he looked for the morning star. Wow, hallelujah. Amen. Job, a man who had every reason to turn his back on God, said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He knew change was a-coming. You know who Job is. The story hasn't changed. Job was and is God's shining example. You see, one day God and the devil had a little meeting. Amen. While they were talking, God asked him, said, where you been, son? God already knew where he'd been. God knows everything. And the devil said, I've been walking in and out, to and fro, all about the earth, seeking whom I may devour. And God said something that I hope he never says about me. I hope God never says this about me. He looked at the devil and said, have you considered my servant Job? Oh, I hope he don't ever tell the devil that about me. Listen. But I do wonder, every once in a while might God say, have you considered my servant, and insert your name and my name. And then I wonder, can God brag on us like he bragged on Job? The book of Job, you see, becomes a personal book. And sometimes we must become as Job. You see, sometimes in life, things go wrong. Amen. Then the question is no longer, how's Job doing? But the question is rather, how am I doing? Amen. Well, amen. The question is no longer, why do bad things happen to good people? It becomes, why are bad things happening to me? Well, amen. Job wanted to know the answer to that question. And if we'll be truthful, there's been times we've wanted to ask the same questions. And probably we have asked the same question and said, God, why is this happening? The Job problem is one of all humanity. It's not just one man's problem, but everybody's problem. Listen to me. We've all known fleeting wealth. Amen. Mine's a whole lot more fleeting than somebody else's is. My giddy up and go done gotty up and win. Amen. It's gone. Amen. My wife, well, it's up. I'm going to tell it. I think the other day, y'all might not know it, but she, a couple months ago, she quit her job. And I think she just walked in, wrote him a little note, said, thank you for letting me work here. I quit, effective right now. Amen. So my wealth has been a whole lot more fleeting lately than other folks have. Amen. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, we've all known fleeting wealth. We've all known sickness. We've all known death. We've all known times when our assets became our liabilities, and we've seen the disintegration of the family. Like it or not, tonight, I'm a Job. You're a Job. And bad things happen to good folks like me and you. And again, the question then becomes, not why do bad things happen to good people, but God, why do bad things happen to me? Why is this happening? Job now in the story has come to the point where the frustration factor has set in on him. The pain on the inside is more severe than the pain on the outside. You ever been there? Job declares, or the Bible does, asks the question, says, what is man that is born of a woman but a few days and full of trouble? Job was saying, All I want is an appointment with God. I have some questions that I want answered. Any of you ever had any questions for God? I have. I believe Job wanted to ask God, Lord, is suffering and sadness all I have to look forward to in this life? Lord, is life an uphill journey and then that's all there is? Lord, was my faith and trust in you a waste of time? Or maybe he wanted to ask something like this. Lord, is my life nothing more than a contest between you and the devil? Am I simply the ping pong ball in yours and Satan's table tennis match? Is that all I am, God? Because you see, I can see this. That's what he probably felt like, putting it in today's language, like a ping pong ball. God and Satan were talking, as I've already told you. God said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, you've got him hedged up. And he serves old Job over. He says, bloop, said, remove the hedge from him and he'll curse you. Job goes sailing to the other side of the table. God does a backhand on him, serves him back over and says, no, he won't. Whoop, there he went the other way. The devil does another serve back and he says, well, let me destroy his cattle and his possessions and bloop, he'll curse you. And God said, bloop, no, he won't. No. Satan says, bloop, let me kill his children and his family. He'll curse you then. God served it back. Bloop, no, he won't. No, he won't. Oh, Satan says, well, just let me take all his riches from him and all of that. Bloop, he'll curse you and die. God simply says, bloop, no, he won't. No, he won't. Well, glory to God. Amen. Are y'all getting this tonight? And Satan says, well, I'll put my spin, a little English on this serve. And he said, bloop, give him one of them crazy serves. He went over and he said, I'll let his wife nag him a while. And Lord, then he'll curse you. And you know, God just might have thought for a minute, well, you know, you might be on to something there. But
knock on your head.
Excuse me, Lord. But God served him back and said, bip! No, he won't. No, he won't. Oh, Lord, listen. Then the devil says, whoop, let me send a bunch of false friends to depress him. Then he'll curse you. You ever notice how when you're having a bad day, you go and, you know, some folks' motto, Brother Brian, you don't have them in church like this, but they have a little motto, something like this, says, if you're ever swimming and start to drown, just think of me and go on down. Amen. I mean, we talking about some wonderful friends he had here. Said they didn't talk to him for a long time, and the first thing they said to him, what you done wrong? Man, ain't done nothing wrong. But all this trouble's come. And he said, God, is that all I am? It's just a ping pong ball between you and Satan. But listen, the Bible goes on to say, in Job 1:22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. But I do believe he probably had some questions, don't you? I believe he might have asked, Lord, what happened to that hedge you had around me? Where did it go, Lord? And I believe Job had some questions about morality maybe he wanted to ask God. I think, now this is just Aaron's interpretation. He might even said something like this. He said, Lord, since my life has lost its meaning, can I just kill myself? He said, well, he didn't say that. You read it close. You read it close. He says in the scripture, if a man die, will he live again? You know what I believe that means? He's contemplating suicide. He said, I want out of this. He said, Lord, the scripture I've read said, Lord, hide me in the grave until your anger is past. Oh, but herein tonight lies the thesis of my sermon. All that was introduction. The thesis of the sermon, Job decided that regardless of what questions he may have, and regardless of what may have happened, that all all the days of his appointed time. He would wait on God until his change came. Woo! He knew change was coming, Brother Danny. He didn't know how. He didn't know where. He didn't know when. He just knew it was coming. And I got news for you. God's burning this in my heart tonight. Creekside, button your seatbelts up. Get ready. You may not know when. You do not know where. You may not know how. But I promise you tonight, change is coming. It's on its way. Amen. And if you will just be obedient to God, and you will make up your mind like Job did, regardless of what comes, I'm just going to wait on God until he decides to send the change. And when he sends the change, it'll be right. That change can't come from your preacher. It can't come from your deacons. You can't work it up with a little emotional feeling. You can't cry it out with a little tear. But that change comes when God says it's coming. And listen, when the Spirit of God begins to move, he'll bring a change that'll usher in an era of revival. Listen, when God sends change, mad folks will get right with each other. Well, hello. When God sends that change, that's something, that relationship that's been dead for 4 years, it'll get life in it again. Oh, when God sends change, the preacher, the sermons will get real to him again. Woo! When that change comes, Brother Brian can stand in this pulpit and whistle Dixie, and folks can get saved, because it ain't about him, but it's about God sending a change. Woo! Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. Job said, I've decided I'm going to wait on God, and sooner or later, he'll change me. He didn't say he'll change my circumstances. Woo! He said he'll change me. Oh, listen, I've been messing with my wife tonight a little bit, picking on her, but now I'm going to turn the shoe on the other foot. Now, men, y'all were quick to holler a while ago. Be just as quick to holler on this. Don't you hate it when your wife comes to you and tells you something and you get all mad about it, get all red-faced about it, say things you ought not say, go off in the bedroom, pout a little while, and then all of a sudden you realize she was right. Amen. And it ain't her that needs changing, but it's you that needs changing. And you have to swallow your pride, put your tail between your legs, go in like a little whoop puppy dog, and say, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, honey. And if my wife lives long enough, one day she'll actually hear me say that. Help me, guys. What am I saying? I'm saying when God's change comes, sometimes he lets you know it's not somebody else that needs changing, but it's you that needs changing. Well, hello. I know church folks. I've been involved with them for 30, 40 years. They'll sit back and say, well, when that preacher gets right, we'll have revival at that church. No. Well, when them deacons get right and quit thinking they dictators instead of deacons, why, then we'll have no. Oh, Lord, when Sister Frazier gets right and Laddie and Ricky and these musicians and Brother Mike singing, when they get right, oh, we'll have revival. Oh, no. Because you see, revival ain't about changing other folks. Revival's about when God comes and changes you. Amen. 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 Old song said, ain't my sister or my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. It's me that needs a change. God, you know what? Some of you are going to get mad in this revival. But get over it. Amen. Because you've been praying for change. You've come around this altar. You've been in your home. We've been out back at the rock pile. And we've said, God, we want revival. God, send change. And some of you are going to get pouty faced when God says, all right, you want revival, you want change, then you change. But wait a minute, God, this is me. He said, I know who I'm talking to. Amen. Job knew things in life were bad. There was death. There was sickness. Terrible things to be dealt with all along the way. But he said, while I'm going, while I'm waiting on change, I know change is coming. But while I'm waiting on it, I'm going to do something in the meantime. Job knew there was a point in time when this change would come. He knew It won't be this way always. Amen. Ain't that good? It won't be this way always. Let me put that in Aaron McCullough English. The sun don't shine on the same dog every day. Amen. Amen. It won't be this way always. Now, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your personal troubles and trials. I have not called Brother Brian up and said, give me all the dirt and the lowdown on the folks in the church so I'll know how to aim my sermons. I wouldn't have done it anyway. And if he'd give it to me, I wouldn't do it. But you know what? I don't know what your problems are, but I got some good news for you. Change is coming. It won't be this way always. But the question is tonight, what do we do in the meantime? Now, let's just be real honest tonight. Whether it be something physical, something spiritual, or something in between, how many of you tonight are waiting on God to move in an area in your life? What you gonna do in the meantime till that change comes? In between things as they are now and things as they shall be. In between our religion and our life, and sometimes what I believe doesn't match up with what I'm doing. Sometimes they're entirely different things. In between the valley and the mountaintop, until the clouds break, in the meantime, what do I do with my life? On our way to a more abundant life, in the meantime, sometimes we find ourselves standing in a rainstorm waiting for the clouds to break. Sometimes we find ourselves in life's prison while we're waiting on the parole. Amen. Sometimes we find ourselves in healing's waiting room while our bodies are in the hospital room. If you want to survive life's mean times, here's what you got to do. And I'm going to give you about four or five things. Number one, realize that not every 12 o'clock is midnight. Well, hallelujah. Realize if you want to survive the meantime while you're waiting on God, realize that not every 12 o'clock is midnight. I want you to know tonight, failure is not fatal. Hello. Failure is not fatal. Every reversal in your life is not a catastrophe. Every difficulty is not a disaster. Every moment of adversity is not necessarily a forerunner of gloom and doom. Job said, all the days of my appointed time, the good ones, the bad ones, the in-between ones, while I'm waiting, all the days of my appointed time. Job realized that there had been a time appointed unto man for testing and a time of warfare. All of us have an appointed time of struggle in our lives. Did y'all hear what I just said? That needed an amen right there. All of us have an appointed time of struggle in our lives. An appointed time for spiritual warfare. A wrestling match. Not against powers and principalities, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. But we know that we can make it because not every 12 o'clock is a midnight. We have midnights when death comes and loneliness and being down and out, and we face the slings and the arrows of the devil. But listen, the same clock that tells of midnight also tells of a midday. Amen. Well, hallelujah. The same clock that tells of a sunset tells of a sunrise. Woo! The same clock that tells of weeping tells that joy shall come in the morning. Well, hallelujah. And the same clock that tells of defeat tells us that victory is on its way. Well, hallelujah.
Friend, this is Brother Aaron. It's my prayer that something you've heard on the broadcast today has spoken to your heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today would be a wonderful day to meet Him. Let me tell you, there's no magic words to pray. Just simply the best way you know how. Call on God in prayer and ask Him to come into your heart and your life and be your Lord and Savior, and He'll do that. Perhaps you know Him as your Savior but haven't been living for Him. Then again, there's no magic words, just the best way you know how, from the very bottom of your heart, call out to the Lord and ask Him to restore to you the joy of His salvation in your life. And my friend, I promise you, if you'll do that in faith, either one, He'll be faithful to come into your heart and life and restore life to you. We would love to have the opportunity to stand with you in prayer. So give us a call at 706-302-9162 or 1-800-511-9536 and tell us if you prayed either one of those prayers. And also, visit on the web, www.freshfireministries.com. All right. Hope to see you next week right here. Bye-bye.